desire y'all's prayers this evening. When seeking the Lord this week for what he would have, he started off giving me one word. And sometimes those are interesting weeks because it usually means that I'm going to get to do a study. And I did get to do a study. But as the week went on, he narrowed down, should I say narrowed down the word to a phrase? That may sound funny. But it started off, the thought just kept rolling through my head, peace. And looking at our world today, it's obvious that peace is not something our world is currently familiar with. But the more I kind of read and studied, the more a phrase jumped out to me at different places. It was peace in our soul. And if you think about that, peace in your soul, that is a very, because notice I didn't put a plural on the end of that. I want to make sure that's a conscious, it's peace in our soul, a singular experience for each of us. Because sometimes we can group things in and we can talk about the group experience, but this is actually about us individually. So I'd like to start off reading in Psalms 55. Psalms 55, starting in verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray, and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. And this was the first verse where that phrase, he hath delivered my soul in peace, jumped out at me. Because it's actually in a battle where the soul was delivered in peace. It didn't necessarily say in a time of peace or after the battle, but while things were raging. So I'd just like for us to stop and think. In your soul today, do you have peace? If you've been in a battle in life, have you ever sought for the deliverance that God has waiting for you? Have you reached out to him saying, Lord, you said that you have peace. Didn't Jesus tell us he would give us peace? Not like the world does. And has he given you that peace in the face of your enemy? This was David talking here. And he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. Do we have peace when everything just seems to be blowing up around us? Can we grasp that God has us, wants us to be in a place to where we can find that peace no matter what? Now, I will say, I noticed that there were some things here that David said he was doing, which I think is critical if we're going to find that peace when we need it. Verse 16 says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. If your peace gets disturbed, how long do you wait to cry out to God? To say, Lord, my soul, the quiet place that's supposed to be reserved for you and me to commune, is getting some bad weather in it. It's getting disturbed. Do we turn and go to the Lord instantly and say, Father, I need help? But it says David here, evening and morning and at noon, it didn't seem to matter the time of day. He was going to cry out to God if he needed that peace. And I would challenge us, when you're feeling overwhelmed, no matter where it's at, and I'm going to speak just for Diane and I, you know, sometimes in a household with just a couple of people, you can get, and I want to say this gently, tired of each other's company when you've been around each other for a very extended period of time. It doesn't mean we don't dislike each other, but I may have a habit that if it only occurs every so often because I'm away at the office, it might become a little more trying to Diane if I'm at home all the time. And suddenly that habit is showing up more frequently. And that peace can get disturbed. Intentionally, maybe not. But you know, God can help all of us with things like that. He can say, you know what? I know it's trying circumstances. Life is different. But we have to turn to God and look to Him for that peace. The next verse I want us to look at is in Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38 starting in verse 17. It says, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Do you know, sometimes I thought about this verse, "For behold, for peace I had great bitterness." Sometimes we can look at things and we can see our failures. We can see our mistakes. To the point that, and this phrase came to my mind, I hope you all don't mind it, to the point that sometimes our peace can feel like to us like we're just sucking on a great big old sour lemon. It's just, all we can see is just the bitterness, the things that we wish we would have done different. And you know, the devil likes to come in and he likes to get us to looking at things like that. He likes to show you that, yes, you have peace from God, but he's just doing it because look how terrible of a person you are. Look how bad you are. Look how many mistakes you've made. Don't let the devil take your peace by bringing that to your mind. Because here's what I like about that verse. "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness." Does it stop there? No, it doesn't stop there, because it continues. "But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption." And think about this last sentence, or last part of the sentence. "For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Now, do you think that this person is actually sitting in bitterness still for peace? If they are now recognizing, you know what, God, not only have you saved my soul from corruption, but you've taken my sins, and instead of keeping them before your face, like the devil's maybe keeping them before mine, you put them behind your back. You've cast them behind you. You've said, okay, you're my child now. We're done with those. Let's not keep those out here where we can dwell on them. Let's put them away. Those are finished. You know, it reminds me of some of the things, some of the songs, you know, "Wait for the Morning." You know, "The night can seem so drear, so long, but when the light breaks forth, what joy there will be." You know, God loves taking all the corruption in our life. And isn't corruption always kind of referred to as darkness, as blackness, as bitterness, as gall? But we have a verse that says, "He changes darkness into light and makes the Christian pathway bright." Do we consider that God has that for us, and every day we come to Him? That sometimes I know I can get to focusing on just what I have to deal with today. What is before me today? And it can sometimes seem overwhelming. I have this checklist from home. I have this checklist from work. And I just, Lord, I don't know where to start. You know, I would tell us, go start by going asking the Lord for peace in the matter. To help Him to direct you to what, just where to start the day at. Do you know God is very personal? I've often got amused at things. Diane and I, you know, we've been married for quite a while now. And yes, she decorates the house. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a computer guy. And that generally means, believe it or not, my creativity is not in the colors and things like that. I do have family members that are in that space. I'm pretty good at mechanical, figuring things out. So, you know, I expect Diane to decorate the house. But do you know, even though she knows that I'm pretty much going to be fine with what she says, she likes to come talk to me about that. She likes to come ask me questions. And I appreciate it. Sometimes she'll be proposing things and my brain just can't wrap around it. I will admit, there's that part of, you know, I'm like, honey, I don't get it. I can't visualize what you're talking about. And I will give her credit, or maybe years of living with me, she'll disappear and pretty soon she might come back with some other pictures of similar things. And, oh, okay, I'm starting to see what you're talking about now. But do you know the Lord wants us to have that kind of relationship with Him? We might not think about the fact that, and I'm not trying to pick on women folk, but decorating a house, do you think the Lord would like to have your house decorations reflect Him? We don't have a verse in here, anywhere in the Bible, that says it has to. But the reason why I mention that is think about how careful He was with the details of how He wanted His tabernacle to be. The colors, the materials, how He wanted it formed. And then when He gets involved in our lives, you know, He wants that for us. He wants to be very involved in our lives. You've got a question, you've got an issue, just a normal thing of life, and you might be thinking, Lord, this is too small for You. It's not. Take it to the Lord. Lamentations. So we go to Lamentations chapter 3. Go to verse 17. I'm going to start reading here. And Thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Now here we see it almost appears like the Lord is moving the peace further and further away from this person. That things are just going in the wrong direction. But let's not stop reading there. So continuing on in verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. This is where I think we as men sometimes can get caught up into what's going on to us, going on around us, the storms we're in. And we can forget that how many days of storm have you ever been through? And yet, through the grace of God, you come out the other side to a new day. You're not just stuck there in that day and it never ends. Sometimes the troubles may appear to never end. But we have a God that cares. And He's willing to renew us every day. I would ask us, you know, it starts off here, the person remembering his affliction and his misery. And that's natural for us as men sometimes to look back upon. I know sometimes, even in my personal studies and prayer, sometimes it comes to my mind, Lord, I am so sorry that my sins required Your Son to die. But we don't want to stop there. We want to continue that thought. There's nothing wrong with you know, remembering where we're from, because that gives us the ability to have a greater understanding of the love that was shown. But if it wasn't for that death of His Son for my sins, I wouldn't have the ability to petition Him today for the peace that I have. And I would just challenge us, when you find yourself looking at the dark, the scary things, the things that just not sure what's going on in the world, God is in charge of all of that. He doesn't want us to despair. Think of Job. Now, If there was a man that we've read of that potentially could have said, Lord, I have no idea, I give up, could it not have been Job? Somebody that sat there and says, his friends came to comfort him by telling him, well, you must have sinned. And he's like, he pretty much said, I've searched my life. I can't find it. As far as I know, I've been doing everything right. And just, I've lost all my family except for my wife. I've lost all my wealth. The people that used to come around him stopped coming around him. If you read the story, his social groups shunned him. And all because of why? Now we know from our side of the history books why. But he didn't have that knowledge. He didn't know, oh, the Lord's trying me. And you read Job, it is an agony of soul. To the point of him saying, Lord, I wish you wouldn't have let me be born. I wish you would have stopped that. But there was one thing that Job had. Do you realize Job had a hope in God throughout that whole time? Because what was Job's, if you almost want to call it, constant refrain? His constant refrain was kind of, I know God, and God does everything well. He does everything well. He does everything for a purpose. And if I could just talk to God, either I could help him, help me understand, but if I could just talk to God, if I could have that communion with the Lord, he would help me to understand, he could help me see, I could press my case before him. Job's hope was that he knew he could have soul peace if he sought after the Lord. That was his hope throughout that whole time. Was no matter what's going on, no matter the dark circumstances, losing everything, your wife seeming to turn against you from a spiritual viewpoint. But his hope was, I know God does everything well. And was Job disappointed? You realize Job was given twice the amount of his wealth that he had. Before it happened, he had had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And afterwards, the Lord granted him another 7 sons and 3 daughters. That the friends that shunned him came back, and the Lord gave him back what appeared to have been taken, and more. And Job's hope hadn't been for naught. He learned about the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Do you know God is a God of peace towards those who call upon his name in sincerity? You know, there's people in the world today that do call upon the name of God. But I would, and I'm not trying to judge people, but I have talked to some. When they call upon the name of Christ, it's, and I have one man pretty much tell you, it was pretty much because that's just what you did. It was, you showed your sincerity by calling on the name of Christ. It was for show. And it was, I'm like, okay, that's not why I call upon God. Because if I call upon God, I want him to answer. I want him to do something beyond just recognize, okay, you say you're my child. I want him to respond like he did for David, for Abraham, for the prophets of old. I want him to give me an answer when I need an answer. And it said God is faithful. So I'm going to ask you a question. Who is the father of faith? Oftentimes we would say Abraham, wouldn't we? I know he is mentioned as the father of faith in the Bible. But have you ever thought about who created and established himself in front of Abraham as the God that was real, powerful, and personal? Did Abraham just think that up on his own? Or did God work with him and say, you know what, Abraham? You are going to be the father of faith. Let me show you why you can trust me. Let me show you the God I am. Let me take your cares and your concerns, bring them to me. I'll work with them. Didn't he bring his concern to the Lord about, you said I would have an heir, but right now if I were to die, it would be my servant that inherits. Isn't that just a worldly little thing, if you think about it? But Abraham brought that before the Lord, and the Lord said, I see that. And I've told you, you're going to be a father of a great nation, and that is going to happen. You know, Jehovah was a name that Abraham didn't know. He knew him as God Almighty. He didn't know him as Jehovah. He didn't know him as the great I am. He didn't know his name, but he knew God. And God wants to know each of us today. He wants to be personal to us. He wants to reach out to us and say, what is disturbing your peace, child? What is it I can help you with? Is there something in your life? Is there something in your family? Is it just do you have, and I'm not trying to sound trivial here, but do you just have an old car that's not really running right now? And it's bothering your mind? Do you know the Lord can help things like that? I don't remember the minister that's shared it in the past, but I remember hearing them tell of it. They were traveling out, I think, to a meeting in California and running low on gas. Really didn't have any money. That gas gauge getting lower and lower and lower. They finally pulled over, got a piece of tape out, taped it over the gas gauge, had prayer, drove the rest of the way on in without looking at the gas gauge. Said, Lord, it's committed to you. Is your God that personal, that real? Can you grab the peace that he had like that person was? Okay, Lord, this is disturbing my peace. I have to give it to you. I have to give this to you. Or, dare I say, have any of us, if you find yourself fussing in your brain, next thing you know, you're fussing with your mouth as well. Oh, I can get that way. Your peace gets disturbed. It disturbs those around you. But God has peace for us. Mark chapter 4, verse 39. And this is speaking of Jesus. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Do you know, no matter what we're facing in life, that man that could just speak peace and it happened is our advocate with the Father? Do we take advantage of that when it comes to the trying times in our souls? To go to him and say, you know, Lord, your son says if we would ask anything in his name, we could have it. Father, I need peace in my soul. I need your son's power to calm the storms, to put the things to rest in a way that I can slow down, take a deep breath, and feel okay, even if it's just for a little respite. You know, I'm sure those the disciples were in other storms in life. You know, it wasn't that they never saw another storm. But they had learned something, I think, that when you get in that storm and it's just, you just can't see any way out, go to Jesus. Wake him up. Say, Lord, I need peace in my soul. I hope you all appreciate the message. I would just challenge all of us, stay encouraged. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. Keep our eyes on the goal. Don't let the Lord, the storms of the world, get us off balance to the point that we lose the peace in our soul. You all pray for me.